May the words of Scripture just proclaimed this morning turn into beautiful melodies in each of your hearts. In trying to prepare this homily this morning, was trying to think what is the message about the Epiphany that would be very appropriate for our time, our situation right now. And various thoughts came to mind, of course, but all of a sudden it came to me, you know, that there is a kind of pattern in our Christian life. And the message of the Epiphany has something to do with this pattern. You think about it, there's creation. God creates us. God has created us. That's number one. Number two, we creatures, we are limited. Sometimes we're ignorant. Sometimes we're willfully ignorant, which is called sin. And maybe we ourselves are victimized by people who are themselves sinners, and they inflict their sin or the fruits of their sin upon us. So creation, which God made, and yet somehow because of our limitations, our weaknesses, our ignorance, and our sinfulness, our creation gets messed up. In various ways. And this has happened down through the ages, and it's happened to all of us in various ways. That's number two. And then number three, the kind of pattern of the Christian life, is that somehow, despite the fact that we mess up, and there are these problems that keep recurring down through the ages, that come from our limitations and our sinfulness, nonetheless, somehow, so often we find the ability to pick ourselves up, maybe make just a little bit of an improvement in things, and move on. That is known in Christian theology as redemption. The power of redemption at work in our lives. So we go from creation to messing up the creation in various ways, and then to the redemption of creation. That's kind of like our Christian pattern. I taught world religions for years and years on the college and university level. And although it's not the same in other religions, something similar to this pattern is also found in all the other religions that I ever taught, no matter what it was. There was a kind of similar movement. And each of the religions has some kind of insight into how we deal with the way we mess things up and try to make them better. In our Christian tradition, we have our own view of how that is to happen, which doesn't mean that we can't learn from these other traditions as well. Anyway, that's our general pattern. So Paul today has his own little epiphany. Well, maybe it's not a little epiphany. It's a big epiphany. Something that really becomes clear to him, manifests itself to him, which throws light upon this general pattern that we're talking about. He talks about this mystery, this plan, this mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, which we were just talking about. He talks about this, and he says that his insight into this is to say, through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety is to be made known to the authorities and rulers in the heavenly places. The rich variety in the world, in creation, among peoples, between the churches, between us all. This insight into variety. And Paul, I'm sure you are aware of it from the various things you've heard, read, or you've read yourself in Paul's various writings. In some ways, he was an apostle to people who wanted to maybe limit the amount of variety in God's plan. He was an apostle to them. And he says here, I, Paul, I am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have heard of the revelation given to me, that the gospel is not just meant just for one small group. In Paul's time, just the early Jewish Christians who thought that the gospel was to be limited to those coming out of the Jewish tradition. And you had to be a Jew to be a Christian. And Paul is saying, no. The gospel is meant for everyone. Not only Jews, but the Gentiles. Well, when Paul is saying, sometimes we may not hear how radical that was. Well, if you say the gospel is both for Jews and for Gentiles, what you're saying is that the gospel is for everyone. There is no one excluded. It's an invitation of hospitality to everyone. And somehow if we are excluding people from that, we are failing in the gospel, in the plan of God. That's Paul's insight into the mystery. That's his epiphany. And his epiphany cost him his life. Because people didn't want to hear that epiphany. The gospel is for me, not for you. For my group, not for your group. It's the old problem of the we versus the they. The us versus the them. The insider versus the supposed outsider. The form it took in Paul's time was this problem of allowing the Gentiles into the riches of the Christian faith that the early Christian Jews were experiencing in their own time as they came to know Jesus. So I guess the epiphany then today for us might be something like, how are we doing in terms of this we versus they thing? The we versus they problem. The inside group and the outside group. Well, of course, in the United States, we have, obviously, we have so many political tensions right now. I mean, obviously, we have some people who are in the inside. They have their inside group, and then there's the outside group. You either belong to this group or you belong with that group. You don't belong with this group, well, we're going to take care of you on that group. We have that tension. They're all over the place. I would have to just completely ignore reality not to bring that up. The gospel is telling us we have to deal with that. How are we doing with that? And of course we have that in our families. We have it in ourselves. The variety in ourselves. I may have some talents. The Lord may be urging me to do something, and I don't want to. Or maybe there's something in my life I need to face, and I don't want to face it. Or well, families, you know, we have the scars and the wounds in our families, and we don't want to deal with all of that too. And we don't know what to do, and so on. We struggle with this problem of variety. on all kinds of levels of our lives, and we struggle with it in the church as well. I've oftentimes thought one of the blessings of the church is that it brings such different people together. Probably people that we would not choose to be with oftentimes. You know, we say to ourselves, oh, I love everybody. It's just the person next to me in the pew I can't stand. So, in other words, the church is a kind of little community of people who are trying to create community, trying to be community. They're trying to practice what Paul's preaching here, in a way. And so we have to find ways to extend ourselves, to develop, I guess, empathy. You know, because how are we ever going to do what Paul is talking about here, this inclusiveness? I mean, Paul could really wax eloquently. There's one text, Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 28, where he says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. In his time, that was pretty radical talk. In our time here, it's also kind of radical talk, if we live it out. So we know it's hard. So there you are. That's the insight into the mystery. And then we kind of like mess that mystery up. So we kind of, the epiphany for us today might be a way for us to think about how are we doing on that? Because that's really what Epiphany is all about. The Gentile magicians or astrologers come to the Jewish Jesus. And they offer him homage. But of course, this is threatening to some people. It's threatening to Herod, the political structure of the time. And this kind of harmony is threatening sometimes to people. Some people don't want there to be harmony. They want there to be disharmony. Because they think somehow they can profit from that disharmony. Fill people with fear and all sorts of things and then manipulate them. So you see, this is an old problem. It goes way back. And there it is. And so this, I would say, this is part of the thing. Now, I would say, I would leave you with this, though. Remember, there is a redemptive power at work. If this were just all up to us, and we had to kind of like do all of this by ourselves alone, it would be too much. And we would be crushed by it. But we don't do it alone. Paul here talks about this inbreaking of grace, or he talks about the Holy Spirit kind of coming into his life and giving him courage, giving him strength, giving him the ability to carry on. We don't have to think in big grandiose terms, I don't think. Just think for the day. Just for the day. That's all. Just think for now. Just think for now. The fact that we can come together and look at these things, talk about them, ask ourselves how we are doing, keep ourselves humble and open, that's the sign of grace at work within us, I believe. Giving us the strength to, I like to say, MWT. You know what MWT stands for? Muddling our way through. If we MWT, that's grace at work in our lives. May that be part of your epiphany today.